Good morning. It's great to be with you on this Lord's Day. And one of our goals during our furlough is to get refreshed and to renew our strength and recharge our batteries. And we just want you to know you've really refreshed us this morning. We've really enjoyed being with you today and being with your praise time early this morning and being with your Sunday school hour and now being with you during our worship service. It's really meant a lot to us, to our family. Thank you for allowing me to sit with Rachel for a while today, Tim. But thank you so much just for inviting us, for your interest in missions, and it's encouraged us just to hear and to see your heart for missions at home and abroad. And we just appreciate that. And I just want to tell you a little bit about our family. We've been World Witness, ARP, World Witness Missionaries, for 4 years in Turkey. And we presently serve, and I'll talk a little bit about this during the sermon, in a city, Balıkesir, Turkey, about 300,000 people in this city. And we're seeking to plant a church in this previously unreached city. And so let's hear our scripture reading this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. And the Apostle Paul writes, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, we do thank you for the way that your word speaks to us and meets our needs. And Lord, we pray that you would come to us today. Continue to speak to us, Lord. Continue to encourage us, correct us, challenge us. Lord, meet our needs. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 4 years ago, we left the States to join the World Witness Ministry in Turkey. And as we shared this morning, 2 years we lived in Izmir, Turkey. And for the last 2 years, we've made our home in Balıkesir, Turkey. And while we've been in Balıkesir, we've experienced some things that I guess we kind of anticipated. The work of planting a church there is hard and it's slow. There are about 300,000 people in Balıkesir. And as I shared this morning, besides our family and our small church of about 5 Turkish believers, and besides another American family and their house church of about 3 Turkish believers, everyone else in this city of 300,000 people in one way or another identifies themselves with the religion of Islam. And so Islam is the religion of Balıkesir. It's the religion of the family in Balıkesir. It's the holiday it's the religion of the holiday culture in Balıkesir. It's the religion of the government leaders in Balıkesir. And so we've kind of anticipated the work in Balıkesir to be hard and slow. And it has been. But, you know, there's something else about living in Balıkesir that we've experienced that I guess we didn't fully anticipate. You know, as missionaries in a Muslim country, I guess our first focus since going there has always been about reaching Muslims for Christ, praying that Muslims would receive Christ, building relationships with the hopes of impacting them with the love of Christ. But something I guess we didn't fully anticipate is the impact that an unbelieving culture could have on us and our own faith. You know, it's an interesting experience to live in a city where you feel so alone in your faith. And now months and now years after hearing, you know, Jesus is just a prophet. He's just a teacher. He didn't die on a cross. He didn't rise from the dead after months and now years of daily being greeted by our Muslim neighbor and friends with special Muslim greetings. And after months and now years of hearing the call to worship echoing from the hundreds of mosques across Balıkesir 5 times a day, we've experienced something that we didn't quite anticipate. And that's the temptation to feel ashamed of the gospel. The temptation to feel ashamed to testify about our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a temptation that's not unique to our own experience. It's not unique to ministry in Turkey. But we've all felt that in one way or another, haven't we? The temptation to feel ashamed of the gospel. In the verses we just read, Paul is writing Timothy, his son, in the faith. And Paul understands that his young brother in the faith, Timothy, is most likely facing this same temptation. Paul writes, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord," Paul writes, "or ashamed of me, his prisoner." Paul gives us an insight into a temptation that Timothy was most likely facing. And I'm sure even Paul probably faced this temptation to feel ashamed. Years earlier, as Paul writes to the churches in Rome, in Romans 1:16, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." You know, a wonderful verse in the New Testament that many of us know. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." And sure enough, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel as you follow his life in the New Testament. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he never faced the temptation to feel ashamed. The Christian writer John Stott, he gives an interesting insight into this verse in Romans when he writes, "You generally don't say you're not ashamed of something unless you felt tempted to feel ashamed." You generally don't say you're not ashamed of something unless you felt tempted to feel ashamed. That temptation to feel ashamed, it's real. And it affects us all, and it can happen more than we care to admit. Just consider Timothy and the circumstances that he was facing as Paul wrote this letter to him. The church was facing severe persecution. The Roman emperor seemed intent on destroying the church. Heretics, false teachers were on the increase within the church. And Paul, he's writing this letter not from a healthy church plant, not after a successful day of preaching, but Paul's writing this letter bound in chains from some dark Roman dungeon awaiting his sentence. And most historians agree that his sentence was death and that he was later beheaded. You know, how times had changed for the Apostle Paul. Just a few years previously, during Paul's stay in Ephesus, in the book of Acts, we read, "All the Jews and the Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord." And later in the same chapter, we learn that many believed. And yet now, listen, just the opposite is happening. In the chapter of our passage this morning, verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Listen to how it changes. Listen to Paul. "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me." Just a few years earlier, everyone had heard the word of the Lord. And now just the opposite is happening. Everyone is deserting Paul and the word of the Lord. If ever there was a time to feel tempted, to feel ashamed of the gospel, Timothy was living in that time. If ever there was a time to feel tempted, to feel ashamed of Paul, his mentor in the faith, Timothy was living in that time. You know, this past year, I think by far has been our hardest year in Turkey. And as many of you know, this past April, 3 Christian workers were executed, were martyred in a Christian publishing house in Turkey. And as a result, many have left the church. But not only that, the media coverage, the public opinion of the church has become increasingly negative. Although most denounce the murder and the murderers of these 3 Christians, the majority of the people in Turkey still place the ultimate blame for these events on missionaries and the Christian church. And since the events of April, our small church in Balıkesir, as well as many churches across Turkey, have faced a significant decline in visitors and attendance. You know, perhaps you faced some pretty discouraging circumstances this past year. I don't know, but circumstances that have just caused you to maybe even question your faith, tempted to even feel ashamed of the gospel. And you want to believe. You know you should believe, but the circumstances, they just kind of overwhelm you and the naysayers surround you. How do you stay strong in your faith? How do you resist the temptation to feel ashamed? Well, most of us have either read C.S. Lewis's book or seen the movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And we remember Lucy's experience as she discovers Narnia on the other side of the wardrobe. And after she returns from this experience, she's devastated. No one will believe her, not even her own sister and brothers, not even Edmund, who saw it himself. But the lies of Edmund and the unbelief of Peter and Susan won't shake her faith. She knows what she saw. She's seen it. She's different because of the experience. And people can say what they like, but deep down inside, Lucy knows what she believes. In verse 12 of our passage this morning, Paul writes, "This is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed." Paul was convinced of his faith. He had seen the Lord Jesus. He had heard the voice of the Lord Jesus on that road to Damascus. And he wouldn't forget. It was something no one could take from him. No circumstance could remove from him. Paul had changed completely, you know, from a persecutor of the church to a planter of the church, to someone who boasted in his own righteousness, to someone who now would only boast in the grace of God. Paul writes, "I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed." In Turkey, there are Peters and Edmunds and Susans who look at the faith of our family and they literally shake their heads and they wonder, "How can you believe such a thing?" And they come by the office day after day and they present their cases and their arguments. "How can you believe in a Bible that's been changed?" they say. "How can you believe in something as impossible as God becoming a man?" And day after day, they come by and they present their arguments. And after a while, you almost feel like Lucy, drawn to tears. Why won't anyone believe? And could I be mistaken in my own belief? You know, yet despite this testing, we've discovered something in Turkey that I hope you've discovered in your own life. We have a Lord who won't let us forget. We have a Lord who constantly reminds us of the one whom we believe in. And he does this through his Holy Spirit. He does this through his word. He does this as we gather as a church. We're reminded that we have a wonderful Lord. He's good. He's true. And there's nothing shameful about him. You know, yes, we face trials in Balıkesir and even on the occasion feel tempted to feel ashamed of our faith. But, you know, at the end of the day, as we look to the Lord, and I hope you find this in your own life, and as we draw near to him, we find ourselves again and again refreshed and convinced. You know, there's no one like the Lord, and nothing and no one can compare to him. You know, the days after the three Christian workers were martyred, some of our Muslim neighbors and friends, they didn't quite know how to respond to us. And I guess all of us in every culture, we do our best to avoid death. But particularly in the Muslim culture, death is feared and viewed with great uncertainty and a deep, prolonged period of mourning and regret. And a friend of ours lost his mother this past year. She had lived well into her 80s, a long life by Turkish standards. And as I visited the home, I was struck by the utter despair and the grief in this living room. Women were crying out loud. You know, men were complaining about the care that she had received in the hospital. Small children, probably too young to even really know their sick aunt or grandmother. They were following the example of their elders with whimpers and tears in their eyes. And I didn't know what to say. You know, I didn't know what kind of word of encouragement or hope to give them? How do you give hope to a group of people who have placed their hope in a religion where there is no hope? And the next day at the mosque, about 15 men piled into our van. The women don't attend the funeral. And we drove to the cemetery for the burial of my friend's mother. And a few verses and prayers were read in Arabic, which no one understood. The woman was buried. And that was that. On April the 20th, the funeral for one of our martyred Turkish Christian brothers took place in Izmir, Turkey. And as I shared this morning, as the casket of this martyred Christian entered, was carried into the church grounds, the large gathering of some 500 Christian men and women began clapping their hands and shouting, "Aferin, Aferin," which means well done. And they were there to honor the life of this Christian brother who had given everything for the sake of the gospel. They were there to honor God and give glory to God. And there were a lot of reasons for these Turkish ministers that day to call for revenge or place blame on someone. But instead, they focused on the love of God and our call to forgive. And as one Turkish minister simply said, we love because Christ loved us. We forgive because Christ forgave us. And once again, you know, there I was in a wonderful way that day being reminded of the one whom I believe in. And my faith was strengthened that day. I wasn't ashamed. We have a Lord who won't let us forget, who constantly reminds us of the one we believe in. And so Paul writes to Timothy, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. And then he goes on to say something interesting. He says, do not be ashamed of me either, the Lord's prisoner. And can you just imagine the ridicule that Timothy must have been facing, the cutting remarks, perhaps, from his unbelieving neighbors and friends? So, Timothy, where is that leader of yours that you speak so highly about? Where is that one that you called the apostle who left everything to follow Christ? Where is he now? Do you think Timothy ever felt tempted to feel ashamed of his mentor, the apostle Paul, his father in the faith, who is now rotting away in a Roman dungeon? Apparently, Paul must have thought he was facing this temptation because he writes to Timothy, don't. Do not be ashamed of me, the Lord's prisoner. And isn't it wonderful how Paul encourages Timothy to gain a proper perspective of the situation? You know, Paul says, don't be ashamed of me, a Roman prisoner. Don't be ashamed of me, a prisoner of negative circumstances. But he says, don't be ashamed of me, the Lord's prisoner. He's in chains for Christ. And external circumstances may have changed, but Paul's identity in Christ, it hasn't changed. And his recognition of his identity in Christ hasn't changed. And isn't it neat just how Paul begins this letter? And in verse 1, just consider Paul in a dark Roman dungeon. People are abandoning him left and right. And yet you can just hear the conviction and even the honor in Paul's voice when he writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. All the negative stuff that his naysayers want to throw at him, Paul won't listen to it. And he won't accept it. And he doesn't want Timothy to listen to it or accept it either. I'm in chains for Christ, Paul writes. Don't forget that, Timothy. Have you ever felt tempted to feel ashamed of your brother or sister in Christ? Maybe as you describe your church to friends or neighbors, there's some folks in your church that you purposely don't mention. But honestly, more than we care to admit, not only can we face the temptation to feel ashamed of our Lord Jesus, we can also face the temptation to feel ashamed of our own brothers and sisters in Christ. I know that we're faced with this temptation in Turkey. We live in a fairly comfortable apartment building with neighbors who live a fairly comfortable life. There's an engineer, there's a doctor, there's a technician in the Air Force, and we have folks from our church come to our home, and I find myself sometimes thinking, you know, I hope our neighbors don't run into them because they won't be very impressed with the church in Turkey. You know, one day we drove up to our apartment building and there was Huri, a believing woman from about 15 hours away from where we live. And she had just stopped by to visit, and she had been waiting for us in the garden for nearly an hour talking with our landlords. And my first reaction when I saw her was, oh, no, what is she saying to our landlord and how are they going to respond to her? Huri and her husband, they watch over a flock of sheep that was given to them by the government as a special part of a special assistance program. And at night they bring the sheep into the sheep pen, which also happens to be their front yard, which extends all the way up to their muddy doorstep. And there I was thinking, oh, no, what is she telling them? How will they respond to this poor shepherd Christian? We've had a man in our fellowship, Yilmaz, and his family over to our home several times. And Yilmaz often comes straight from work with paint still in his hair, on his clothes. And his wife comes, who kind of looks like a gypsy. And they have four little girls, which is a lot of children in Balakas here. And they all come running up the steps. And sometimes we wonder, do our neighbors see them? What do they think about the church in Balakas here? That temptation to feel ashamed, it's real. And it affects us all, maybe more than we care to admit. I'll close with this. At the end of October, we were planning to hold a special seminar at our church office. It was going to be the first of its kind, really, in Balakas here. We were going to focus on the validity of the New Testament. Muslims believe that the New Testament has changed in a variety of ways. And so we had planned to bring in a speaker from Ankara who was planning to show in a very clear and matter-of-fact way that the Bible has not been changed. But about 24 hours before the planned start of the seminar, the chief of the police informed us that we had to cancel the seminar. And so after weeks of planning and prayer, we canceled the seminar. And Hassan, the Turkish pastor from Izmir, Hassan and I, we met the police at the front door of the church the day of the canceled seminar. And they wanted to make sure that we had canceled the seminar. We told them, yeah, we had, that we were just there to kind of let people know why it had been canceled and tell them to apologize and so forth. And but there, as we were waiting with the police just before 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's when the fun really began. One by one, journalists, probably a dozen or so journalists and a couple of television reporters and a handful of Muslim political and religious leaders began to enter the room of our church. And they didn't care that the conference had been canceled. They wanted to find out about this new church in Balakas here. And they began to bombard me and Hassan with all kinds of questions about our faith and the church. And I want to tell you, I was terrified. I was completely taken off guard. Seminary had not prepared me for this. And the worst part is that Hassan had just left the room to do something. So there I was, all alone, not sure what to say, not sure how the publicity would affect me, how would it affect our family, how would it affect the landlord who rented us this office. And so I just kind of answered a few general answers to their questions. And finally, Hassan, none too soon, reentered the room. And for the next hour or so, Hassan boldly and unashamedly defended and shared the gospel and unashamedly gave his testimony. And he made it clear that we all need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And the Lord reminded me something that day that continues to speak to me. There is nothing shameful at all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's good. He's true. And no group of Muslim religious or political leaders can compare to him. And furthermore, I was reminded of another thing that continues to speak to me to this day. You know, our Turkish brothers and sisters in the Lord, the Hassans, the Huris, the Yilmazes, they may not be much in the eyes of the Lord, and the naysayers, they can think and they can say what they want. But our Turkish brothers and sisters in the are royalty in the eyes of God, sons and daughters of the King. And they have an identity in Christ, like all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, whether in Turkey or seated right next to us today. They have an identity in Christ that we should recognize and seek to recognize more often than we probably do. And so Paul writes, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner. Do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed. Don't do it. Draw close, draw near to the one whom you believe in. Praise the Lord. We have a Lord whom we know. We have a Lord who won't let us forget. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for the way that you speak to us. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you draw us back to yourself when we wander. Lord, you are a good God. You are our shepherd. And Lord, we just pray that we would be able to answer like the Apostle Paul and say that your grace to us was not without effect. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We pray that you would bring these verses back to our minds again and again this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.